Well, good morning. Welcome again to Chapel Hill. My name is Jamal Baker, the Chapel Hill Atlanta campus pastor. Just want to give you a nice warm welcome from me personally. Thank you for being here today at Chapel Hill. Amen. How y'all doing? Man, wasn't that worship amazing? Man, I almost gave her the signal, just let it roll. Just let it roll. But I do want to take some time to teach you today about the Holy Spirit. Amen. Before we get into the message, let me just mention just a couple of things. First of all, next Sunday, 2 weeks from today, we have our Growth Track One Day class that will be coming up. Growth Track One Day is essentially our pathway to membership. Or perhaps you're new to Chapel Hill, you want to learn a little bit more about the church, you want to perhaps experience what our mission, vision, values, meet our team. We would love to be able to meet you there. I teach that class. We serve free lunch, and it's free childcare. It meets right after the 11:30 at that time. I got to get the new times in my head, too. 11:30 worship experience. We would love to have you there. You can actually sign up for that class at our guest services table or our guest services counter. Amen. All right. As we prepare to go into the word today, let's pray and invite the Holy Spirit, who is the teacher of his word, to teach us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for just an incredible opportunity to be in your presence today. God, we ask that as we open your word, that you would speak to us, that you would guide us, that you would instruct us, Lord. God, we ask that you would change us as your word is spoken. Holy Spirit, we know that you are already present, and we acknowledge you as the true teacher of God's word. Teach us today. Help us to receive all that you sent us into this place to receive. And God will give you honor and praise for that in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. I do have one more thing I want to mention. Next Saturday, I was about to say next Saturday and mentioned the wrong thing. However, next Saturday, we have our mobile food pantry right here at the campus. We would love to have you as a volunteer. It's a way that we serve the community once a month, mobile food pantry. I know we served over 500 people last month, and I'm expecting for an even bigger month on Saturday. Amen. So if you want to be a part of that, you can also sign up as a volunteer at guest services for that. Amen. All right. Are you ready for the word? Yes. Me too. Me too. Now, as we prepare to begin this new message series, It's apparent to me, as we are talking about the Holy Spirit, that the world is enamored by spirituality. The world is engaged with the whole idea of the unseen spirituality. You know, you can see it everywhere. You can see it in the movies. People are concerned about it. People want to be a part of it. You know, and oftentimes it's in weird ways, like, you know, movies like Pet Sematary. Some of you might remember that. Movies like The Nun, movies like Annabelle, more recently Bird Box, whole movie about the unseen, the spookiness of it. Stephen King's movie, It. You know, years ago there's a movie, The Conjuring, that came up. You know, don't raise your hand if you've seen any of these. And then when I was a kid, they had this movie, The Exorcist. The world is fascinated with the unseen, the paranormal. You know, in fact, so many belief systems around the world have an engagement or a belief of the unseen. The Muslims believe in an unseen world. The New Agers believe in an unseen world. The Satanists believe in an unseen world. And obviously, as followers of Christ, we believe in an unseen world. Because we believe as Christians that God is spirit. Look at what John chapter 4 and verse 24 says. It says, God is a spirit, and those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. In fact, if you look at the world's population, for example, the world's population is estimated to be somewhere around 7.7 billion people. If you back out the atheists and the agnostics, that's about 500 million people estimated. That leaves 7.2 billion people who believe in an unseen world. 94% of the world's population is saying there's something out there. There's something out there that we can't see. But fortunately, we have the scripture that directs us to how to engage that unseen world in truth and not deception. Somebody say amen. Amen. John chapter 14 and verse 16, Jesus begins to teach about the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit empowers us to engage this unseen world. Let's read what he says. He says, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate," some translations say comforter, "to help you and to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you." 1 Timothy 1:17, also speaking to the invisible world, it says this: "Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." So we're going to be looking at today the Gospel of John, chapter 14 and 16. We're going to look at some passages from that. And see, Jesus, as we see in these passages, he was very eager to introduce his disciples to the Holy Spirit. Why? Because he's God too. He wants us to know that the Holy Spirit is God too, and he's preparing his disciples. He's about to leave. He's about to be crucified and then raised on the third day. He's going to ascend to the Father 40 days later, but he wants them to know, "I will not leave you alone. I'm leaving, but I'm not leaving. I'm not leaving you alone." So he's preparing to send them a helper. And see, over the next few weeks, we want to study the person, the presence, and the power of the Holy Spirit. We're going to even look at how the Holy Spirit gives gifts to those who are followers in Christ. And those gifts are used to empower our walk and advance the kingdom. But see, one of the things that is a challenge for us, particularly as it relates to the Holy Spirit, is that people oftentimes refer to the Holy Spirit as it. Refer to the Holy Spirit as it. Now, most of us know that in the English language, the word it does not refer to a person. It refers to an object, usually something that is inanimate, something that does not have life. So, and it is not a person, but oftentimes people will try to describe the Holy Spirit using it. It is like the wind. He's not wind. It is like fire. It is not like fire. He is not like fire. It is like a dove. No, he is not a bird. Oftentimes we reduce the person of the Holy Spirit to an it. He is not an impersonal force, even though this is a common view. But it's problematic because of this. If you don't see the Holy Spirit as a person, you'll never develop a personal relationship with him. Because you cannot develop a personal relationship with an it. So let me illustrate it this way. You know, any of you who know me or have seen me for a bit, you know that I kind of like fashion. You know, I don't consider myself an artistic person except when it comes to clothes. That's my artistic expression. But you know, I've never had an experience like this where I walked into my closet after a hard day and I said to my shirts, my jeans, my shoes, my jacket, "Hey, can I talk to y'all? It's been a rough day. Can I talk to y'all?" And never have I had the experience where they said, "Hey, pick me, wear me today." No, I've never had that experience. Now, I have to confess, I have had a few experiences where I was maybe shopping or perusing online or maybe in the mall, and a pair of shoes spoke to me as I walked by. They spoke to me. They said, "Buy me. Buy me. Right now." And I had to. I did. I mean, they spoke to me. At least that's the excuse that I tell my wife when I come into the house with yet another bag. But the reality, I had to. As they were lonely. They were looking for a person to wear them. And I welcomed them. But see, let me illustrate it like this too. So if I said to you, "Here's my beautiful wife, Tamika. We've been married. It'll be 20 years on June the 12th. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But if I said, "This is my beautiful wife of 20 years, Tamika. I've been married to it for 20 years. How many of you know it's not going to go well for me that day? It's going to be a cold night. I'm sleeping on the sofa or somewhere away from her." But it's not any different when you talk about the Holy Spirit. When we think of the Holy Spirit as an it and not a person, it prevents us from having a proper relationship with him. So it's important for us to understand that he is described in scripture with personhood. He is a person. Somebody say, "He is a person." The Holy Spirit is often referred to as the third person of the Trinity. God exists in three persons according to what scripture reveals to us: Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I just want to teach just a few moments on the Trinity so that we can lay a context and a foundation for our teaching on the Holy Spirit. See, it's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, not three gods. It's one God who is three persons. The Father is God, the Son is God, the Holy Spirit is God. One God, but three persons. Now see, one of the reasons that we struggle just a little bit as it relates to connecting on a personal level with the Holy Spirit is when you say Father, that automatically conjures the idea of a personal relationship. Son conjures the idea of a personal relationship. Spirit doesn't naturally flow to the idea of a personal relationship. And part of it is the language barrier that we struggle with. But as we talk about the Trinity, let's explain it a little bit further, because the Trinity is not a word that you'll find in scripture. However, the idea of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is found throughout scripture in many places. Let me give you one of those places right away. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. Then God said, let's read that together. Let who? Okay, make mankind in what? Our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals and over all the creatures that move along the ground. And so you see at the very beginning of God's historical account with man, God is revealing himself in a plural form, but not as many gods. He's saying, "I am Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let us make man in our image." But to reiterate the fact that he is not many gods or three gods, Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4 says this: "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." The Lord is one. Now, I know this can be kind of confusing. Because wait a minute, if it's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, there are three persons, there's three distinctions, but one God. This thing is a mystery. Tell somebody, it's a mystery. It's a mystery because the challenge for us is that we are attempting to conceptualize a God who is beyond our ability to conceptualize him. I mean, if you attempt to finish the sentence, God is like, I mean, what could you say next? God is like, well, God is like, okay. God is like. See, anything that you put after God is like will only at best be a fragmented description of what he is really like. So if we're trying to say what he is like and trying to explain it in human terms, it's really impossible. Even this idea of the Trinity is still a mysterious thing. How can he be Father, Son, and Holy Spirit and only one God and not three different gods? How can the three be one? I've researched it deeply and I have a profound answer for you. Are you ready? I don't know. I don't know. But I don't know is a great answer when you as a finite, limited creature are trying to conceptualize one who has no limits. So let's think about that. Our entire existence is in a world with nothing but limitations. And God calls you into a relationship with him and he has none. We don't even know how to describe any existence that doesn't have limitations because the only existence we know is one with limitations. So, as it relates to understanding the Trinity, it's better observed than it is explained. Does that make sense? And so, we can't explain it in human language, but we can observe it in Scripture. Can I give you just one example before we move on? Matthew chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. It reads, as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my son whom I love. With him, I am well pleased. Right there in that moment, you have the demonstration of the Trinity. The Father in heaven speaks. The Son on the earth is in the water. He's just been water baptized, just like my young brother right here was just water baptized. Let's give it up for him one more time. Cedric Franklin the second, right? He didn't go by junior. He goes by the second. He's like the second, man. It's the second. What's up? Congratulations, man. So Jesus, he's on the earth. He's baptized. The Father speaks from heaven. And then the Holy Spirit descends like a dove right there in one moment, in one place, right there in the earth. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit manifest themselves to the earth saying, I am God. So it's easier to see it through observation than you can actually explain it through human intellect. So now back to the Holy Spirit, who is a person and not a thing. All throughout the Gospels, you'll see Jesus refer to the Holy Spirit not as an it, but as a he. And even in the descriptions of what he will do, it's very personal. Now, what constitutes personhood? Some people might say, a person is someone who has life. Well, yeah, a tree has life. A bug has life. They made a movie about it. Your dog, your cat, they have life, but that doesn't make them a person. Now, I know some of you dog lovers. No, wait a minute, preacher. I'm departing from you now because my dog is a person. No, she is not. My cat is a person. No, he is not. They may be God's creatures. They may have all kinds of activity. They may be wonderful. They may be special. You might call them a part of your family, but they are not a person. They are not a person. Now, don't, no, dog lovers, don't see me after this. Don't see me after this. Your dog is wonderful. Your cat's wonderful. Whatever you have is wonderful. But they're not a person. But see, there's so many scriptures that describe God in his ways, and they're very personal. There's so many scriptures that talk about the emotions of God. that God experiences joy. He experiences sadness. God experiences anger. He experiences pleasure. These are all personality characteristics. In fact, the scripture even teaches us in Ephesians chapter 4 that the Holy Spirit can actually be grieved. Look at what it says. And do not grieve the Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Listen, you can't grieve something that is not a person. So the Holy Spirit is a person. Now, in John chapter 14 through 16, Jesus is preparing his disciples for his departure. But he wants them to know that he is not going to leave them alone. So let's go back to that passage that we read earlier. John chapter 14, verse 16 through 17. And he says this, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate. Another version says an advocate, or another version says a comforter. Another version says helper, to help you to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. And you notice this language. The language is personal. It's very personal. He will be with you. He will be in you. This sounds like a friend to me, doesn't it? He's close to you. And that word advocate, see, an advocate is this. An advocate is a person that speaks on behalf of another with credibility and credentials to rightfully represent them. That's what an advocate does. The Holy Spirit is coming to be an advocate to you. Look at what Jesus says about this whole concept of being an advocate. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1, he says, my dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. So Jesus is saying to the people, listen, I have been an advocate to you as it relates to the forgiveness of sin. I have gone on your behalf. I've gone to the cross. I've paid the price for your sin. I am advocating for you. I am intervening on your behalf. And as I have intervened on your behalf, the Holy Spirit will also come and intervene on your behalf. He will be a representative for you. He will be a helper to you. He will be a comforter to you. I am not leaving you without comfort. I'm leaving, but I'm sending someone who will comfort you. Let me tell you what's so incredible about this. See, when Jesus was on the earth, do you know that when he was in the flesh as a man, he was limited by location? He was fully God and he was fully man, but he was limited by location. But then he says, listen, it's for your benefit that I go. Because right now, although I am all powerful, I have confined myself to this human body, and this human body has limited locations. However, I'm leaving this place and I'm going to send someone who will be with you and in you. He will not be limited by location. He will be with you and he will be in you. I mean, the Holy Spirit is so incredible. I can be on my way somewhere and he's already there, and also he came with me. How does that work? I don't know. I don't know. But that's what he's saying to us, that he's sending us an advocate. So the Holy Spirit helps us. So I want to talk a few moments about how the Holy Spirit helps us. So let me give you a few things, several ways the Holy Spirit helps us. Number one, he reveals God to us. He reveals God to us. I wrote this little statement. It says, the Holy Spirit manifests the active presence of God in the world, in the church, corporately and individual, and in the individual life of every true follower of Jesus. The Holy Spirit manifest God to the world. Manifest means to reveal. It means to peel the layer back off of the mystery and disclose the mystery. The Holy Spirit is showing the world who God is and what God is like. So he reveals God to us. See, when something is a mystery, you need someone to decode the mystery. And the Holy Spirit is the supernatural decoder. He's saying, listen, I know all about him. Let me tell you. Let me tell you how he operates. Let me tell you about Jesus and what he does. I want you to know. I don't want you to be confused. The Holy Spirit reveals God to us. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 9 and 10, it says this. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things. Yes, the deep things of God. The Spirit of God searches these deep things to God. And understand this, God is not playing a game of hide and seek with his people. He is not saying, I'm going to see if they can find me. No. He said, I sent the Holy Spirit. Tell them all about me. Show them who I am. I want them to know me. I want them to see me. I want them to encounter me. I want them to be intimately connected with me. That's your job, Holy Spirit. Reveal me to them. Keep no secrets from them about me. See, revelation, it is simply the revealing of hidden things. And the Holy Spirit, he reveals the heart, the mind, and the will of God. Number two, he glorifies Jesus. He glorifies Jesus. John 16 and 14, he says, Jesus is speaking, he says, he will glorify me because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. Jesus is saying, he's going to glorify me. He's going to tell you about me. Glorify means to add value, to add weight to something. He's going to tell us just how valuable, how incredible, how powerful Jesus is. He's going to celebrate all that Jesus has done. He's going to focus on Jesus. Theologian Charles Spurgeon says this. He says, it is the chief office of the Holy Spirit to glorify Christ. He does that. He does many things, but this is what he aims at in all of them, to glorify Christ. Everything the Holy Spirit speaks to us is shouting the teachings of Jesus. And then everything the Holy Spirit does in us is to make us more like Jesus. And then everything that the Holy Spirit does through us is to empower us to show the world who Jesus is. So he's doing things in us and through us. He wants to let the world know everything about Jesus' teaching. And then inside of us, he wants us to be made more like Jesus. Tell somebody, he's trying to make you more like Jesus. See, you want to talk about living your best life now? Try that one out. See, your best life now is really lived when you allow the Holy Spirit to make you more like Jesus, because he walked this earth and lived the best life that could have possibly been lived. And then he wants to reveal the work of Jesus through us. He wants your life to be a life that gets the attention of a world that is separated from God, so that the power of God works through you, the goodness of God works through you, the glory of God works through you, and people say, hey, what is it with you? Like, what is that? Oh, it's not a that. It's a he. Let me tell you about him. That's what the Holy Spirit is here to do in us and through us. John 16, 7. It says, but very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Jesus is saying, I'm going to send him to you so that he's with you and in you in ways that I was not able to be physically. Number three. He guides us into truth. He guides us into truth. In our text in John 14, 17, Jesus refers to the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of truth. He is the Spirit of truth. And he is called the Holy Spirit for a reason. Why do you think he's called the Holy Spirit? It's not a trick question. It's because he's holy. It's because he's holy. It's because he's perfect. It's because he is sinless. He is just as sinless as the Lord Jesus was sinless. He is the Spirit of Jesus. And here's what happens. See, when we come into relationship with Jesus Christ, when we confess our sins, when we repent of our sins, when we call him our Lord and our Savior, and we turn our lives from our old ways and turn our life to him, theologians say that what takes place spiritually is that we receive the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. And in the New Testament, it says that, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit lives in your body when you become a follower of Jesus Christ. It's one of the reasons why, after the Holy Spirit has come to reside, that some of the stuff that you used to do, you can still do it. It just don't taste the same. It just doesn't quite feel the same. I mean, you're still capable of doing it, but it's all messed up now. It's not, it's just all messed up. Yeah, you can go there, but you got to remember, when you go, you didn't go alone. The Holy Spirit went with you. And when you got to the place, he said, hey, so what are we doing here? Why are we here? Because we now follow Christ, and this is not the place that Christ wants to hang out, and this is not what Christ would do. So why are we here? Which is why you can go, and it's like, man, it's just, man, I'm here, but man, I'm not even having a good time. I know, because the Holy Spirit is saying, this is not who we are anymore. So you can do it, but the Holy Spirit, well, not to be so crass, but the Holy Spirit, he's a buzzkill. He kills the buzz that you used to get from that sin. Say, hey, you know, go ahead and do this, but I don't like this. And since I don't like it, and I'm in, you are now where I reside, we don't like this. I mean, it's the reason the presence of the Holy Spirit is in our lives is one of those reasons why, you know, sometimes we might say stuff, but it doesn't have the same punch like it used to. Like I had a really interesting experience this week. You know, I was on my way to the office. I had a wonderful morning of devotion, just sitting before the Lord in the Word. Oh, Lord, the word is so good. You just ministered to me. And I jumped in my car and I put on some praise music and I'm going down 285 like, yeah, this is good. The sun is shining. I mean, the sunroof is open in the car. I'm like, man, it's going to be an incredible day at work, man. I just can't wait to get in and advance the kingdom of God. And I'm still meditating on that scripture that God had given me that morning, saying, God, you're just so good to even reveal this incredible life-changing truth to me. And then there was this dude on 285. Recklessly zipping in and out of the cars. And even though the background of the music was playing and the scripture was ruminating in my spirit, I mean, before I even knew it, I went, idiot. And then the Holy Spirit was like, so what's up? What are we doing? Because that doesn't sound like Jesus. I know. Man. And I thought some other stuff that I didn't actually say. I was real close. And he's like, no, we're not going to say that. I know you want to, but that's not how we speak any longer. Okay. Buzzkill. But see, that's what the presence of the Holy Spirit does. He's a restraining force in our life. He's constantly drawing us back to be more like Christ. Amen? He's guiding us into truth. Number four. He helps us to pray. He helps us to pray. Now, those of you who come to our Wednesday night prayer service, you probably experienced this, but I'm telling you, this is a shameless plug. Come Wednesday night prayer service. We do the word, we do worship, and we pray. It's an amazing time. But I always tell people, this: if you're struggling with trying to figure out how to pray, come to the prayer service, because one of the best ways to learn to pray is to pray. So you pray, and the Holy Spirit will teach you. But he helps us to pray. Romans chapter 8, verse 26 says, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now, he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Isn't that powerful? I mean, because the Holy Spirit who lives in us actually prays through us. And so I want to encourage you about developing this personal relationship with the Holy Spirit, because sometimes what we need to do is learn to ask him, what should I pray for? I'm just as guilty as anybody else. I come into prayer and I got my laundry list. Lord, the kids, the wife, the money, the ministry. Yeah, the wife gets on there with yeah. I know she might look all nice and sweet, but she wrapped in flesh just like the rest of us. Now, let me keep going before I get in trouble. I'm already in trouble. The hole is already dug. It's 20 years. We got a covenant. What you gonna do? But sometimes what we do is we go into prayer and we've got all of the things that we want. But I want to challenge you. Sometimes go in there, put your list aside. Oftentimes I'll just sometimes sit. I had one of those experiences early this morning. And I just got up, was getting ready for this morning. And I said, let me just kneel here for a few minutes. You got anything you want to say? And so I'm thinking, I know he's going to tell me something about the message, because he really wants me to preach to these people today. No, he starts showing me people that I need to pray for. Oh, okay, let me pray for them. Because here's what the Lord is doing. See, he wants to use your prayers to impact the lives of others. And oftentimes we're so caught up in our personal stuff and the things that matter to us. And the Holy Spirit is saying, you know what? Would you put that aside just for a second? Pray for them. I can work in you and through you to effect change in their life. And you know what? I'll take care of your little problem. I was talking to somebody just the other day. And I was just thinking about how, man, we worry about all kinds of stuff. I mean, we have big problems. It's huge to us. But the Lord is like, that's all you got? You know, I haven't used this illustration in a long time, but it's one of my favorite illustrations to think about God. You know, we're worrying about, you know, we got light bill problems. And the Lord is like, hey, you know, I got all this in my hand, right? Like the whole universe, like not just the planet. Like I got the whole universe. You know, the universe that y'all can't even measure. You know, the universe that y'all are still trying to discover. The one that you can't even travel to places I love this idea. Do you know that God is actually not in heaven? Oh, somebody's theology is about to get messed up. God is not in heaven. No, heaven is in God. No, he can't be contained by anything. There's nothing that contain him. He's outside of everything. Outside of everything. And there he is with the entire universe held in his hand. And he's causing billions and billions and billions of galaxies and billions of planets within those galaxies. He's causing them to operate. You think he can't work with the light bill problem? So So he's just saying, do you know who I am? You know, I used to be a part of this Nigerian church, and I love this. So any Nigerians in the house? Any Nigerians? Any? Yeah, we got some. All right, so you're going to identify. Where are my other Nigerians? Anybody over here? Oh, yeah. So you're going to identify with what I'm about to say. So in Nigeria, somebody comes for you the wrong way, and they look back at them and they go, do you know who I am? Do you know who I am? Am I right? Do you not? God is like, do you know who I am? Do you know who I am? Do you know what I'm capable of? And you're complaining about these small problems. Learn to depend on the Holy Spirit. To settle, he's got no big problems. They're all small to him. All he has to do is speak. And it's done. All right, I'm off track. Let me wrap this up. Number five. He baptizes us with power. Oh, we're going to talk about this in week four. He baptizes us with power. Another word for baptism is infilling, or he fills us. Acts chapter 1 verse 5, it says, for John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. See, the word baptize means to immerse. See, John baptized the followers in water, just like our brother was baptized today, baptized in water for repentance of sins, but there's another baptism. See, there's an immersion in water, but Jesus is saying, I'm going to immerse you in the Holy Spirit. There's another immersion that is available and offered, and Jesus is saying, I want you to have that one. You need that one too. And then number six, he makes us better. He makes us better. John chapter 14, verse 25 through 26, it says this. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. That verse, he will teach you all things, is a powerful verse for us to apprehend, because it means that he's concerned about everything in your life. He will teach you all things. He can teach you how to be a better student. He can teach you how to be a better teacher. He can teach you how to be a better engineer. He can teach you how to be a better doctor, a better lawyer. He can teach you how to be a better anything. There is nothing in your life that God isn't interested in helping to empower you with. I've got this really good friend who's really successful in real estate. And oftentimes he'll call me up and talk about some of the deals that he's involved in. And then he'll be talking about the deal. And I'll say, man, that was really cool. I mean, how'd you do that? He's like, oh, no. That was the Holy Spirit, man. He said, oh, no, I had no idea how to structure that deal. I asked the Holy Spirit, show me. How do I put this deal together? And over in situation after situation, he said, the Holy Spirit, he just speaks. I'm really not that good. I'm really not even that smart. You know, he's fond of saying, dude, when I got to college, I couldn't even read. Like, I was such a good athlete. I just bypassed all of that stuff. I learned to read in college. He said, I'm just not that good. But the Holy Spirit, man, he's amazing. And so I want to encourage you, get to know the Holy Spirit. I want you to ask him, show me more about you. Don't think of him as an it. Think of him as a him that you can personally relate to. And then the last thing that is said is that he will bring all things that I said to your remembrance. Oh, it's so good. That's why I want to encourage you. You become a person of the word. Because when you take in the word, when you meditate on the word, when you study the word, the Holy Spirit will bring back to your remembrance what Jesus said in his word. There's been so many times I've had a quiet time with the Lord and I got a scripture and I felt nothing. Like, okay, well, I read today. Didn't seem to impact me in any way. The heavens didn't open up. There was no voices from heaven. There was no dove that came down. I just opened the Bible and I wanted to feast spiritually. And then 4 weeks later, find myself in a situation and the Holy Spirit will say, hey, you remember that word from 4 weeks ago? It's applicable right here, right now, today. Oh. But see, you got to put something in order to get something out. Amen. Praise God. I'm done. Yeah, I was thinking about a time in my life years ago when the Holy Spirit was moving in my life and I didn't know what it was. I was sitting in a church and the preacher was preaching, and at the close of that message, he invited people to come down. And so I felt something. I think I was maybe a sophomore in college or something. I felt something. I got up. I went down. And they put me on a committee at the church. I didn't know then until a few years later when someone explained to me what was going on. The Holy Spirit was drawing me into relationship with Jesus, not a committee. And I don't know, there may be somebody in this place today. There's something about what you've been hearing, what you've been experiencing here. There's a restlessness. There's a stirring in you. There's a sense in you that there's action that needs to be taken. That's the Holy Spirit. He's saying, come. Come to Jesus. It's time. Perhaps you may be someone who has had a relationship with Christ, but you've seen yourself move away from that and become more self-dependent. The Holy Spirit may be shaking up some things, saying, come back. Come back to Jesus and his teaching. Would you bow your head? I just want to have an opportunity to pray with you. If you relate to either of those categories that I just mention, and you sense something stirring in you that is calling you to action, I want to invite you to respond to Jesus's leading through the Holy Spirit right now. If you're saying, Pastor, that's me, I need to surrender my life to Jesus, I need to repent of my sin, I need to turn away, I need him to wash me of my sin. Or if you're saying, Pastor, I've gotten away and I need to return. If you fit into any of those categories, on the count of three, I just want you to slip up your hand. I'm not going to call you up. I'll call you up. I just want to pray with you right there in your seat. One, two, three. Yes, I see hands going up all around the room. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for moving in the lives of your people right now. And I'm going to ask you to pray this prayer with me, but I'm going to ask all of us, those who didn't raise our hands, to join in this prayer with those who raised their hands. Let's just pray. Say, Lord Jesus, I confess that I need you. And I confess that I am a sinner. But Lord, from today, I ask you to forgive me of my sin. Lord, I believe that you died on the cross for me. That your death paid for my sin. And Lord, I believe that you were raised on the third day. And you have everlasting life. And because you have everlasting life, so do I. From today, I call you my Lord. I call you my Savior. And from today, I'll follow you with all of my heart and mind and my strength as you give me grace. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, let's give God praise. Thank him for what he's doing.